Welcome to the People's Baptist Hour, heard weekly here on WOTC, winning others to Christ. This service is coming to you from People's Baptist Church in Harrisonburg, Virginia, with Pastor Richard Forsythe. We pray that God will use today's message to touch your heart, and if we can be of any help to you spiritually, please call area code 540-434-6554. Now let's join the service.
I'm kind of homesick for a country to which I've never been before. No sad goodbyes will there be spoken, for time won't matter anymore. Beulah land, I'm longing for you, and someday on thee I'll stand. There my now, just across the river, where my faith will end in sight, there's just a few more days to labor, then I will take my heavenly flight. Beulah land, I'm longing for you, and someday on thee I'll stand. There my home shall be eternal.
Are you looking forward to sweet Beulah land? If you know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, we should be. It is going to be a wonderful place. Trust that you are thinking about that this morning, having your mind and heart focused on God and heaven. Boy, good to see each one of you here this morning. Just by way of a couple of reminders, I got a text message just a moment ago. Somebody told me that I think they were saying that my announcements were 11 minutes and 5 seconds. But then again, I don't know that it was referring to my announcements. Maybe they were possibly pointing to the time that we're going to get out this morning at 11:05. I don't know. I hope it's not the 11:05. Hopefully that was just the length of the announcements this morning. But hey, good to see each one of you here this morning. Trust that you do. Pick up the brochures about the Rochesters. Pass them out. Send out the digital brochures. I want to make this announcement before they're here, okay? I'd rather not give you an update and everything once they're here. But here is what I received, I believe it was yesterday. Actually, late Friday evening, Isaac Rochester sent over an update on Chloe. And I know I forwarded this on to a couple of you. But here's an update. Many of you have been praying for her cancer treatments. It says, it's been a very busy 6 weeks or so. The good news is that Chloe is just now just over halfway through her treatments, and she's doing well. You know that she has a year worth of treatments. She's gaining back half of the weight that she had lost during the toughest part of the summer. She just finished a five-day chemo and did awesome. Right now, we're absolutely overwhelmed with things that are behind on because of being at the hospital so much. We're driving her to UVA twice a week right now, in addition to chemo treatments. But we are thankful that she hasn't been in the hospital the last two cycles for the side effects. You know, the side effects can cause her fever to spike or something to go low, and then they, of course, have to go back and remain in the hospital until either those levels rise, fevers go down, things like that. It goes on to say, here's a prayer request. Chloe's doctor is beginning to ask questions about our faith and has even recently attended a church, we know which one that is, that we have ministered to, and said he'd like to come back when we are booked there. Please help us to pray for his salvation. We want to say thank you to those of you who have sent gifts. The expenses are crushing, but God has provided through you. Thank you so much. And then, of course, they send a cute little picture of Chloe with a little bald head sitting on a beautiful white pumpkin that it looks about like her head. It's gorgeous, okay? But you keep the Rochesters in prayer. Grandparents, aunts, uncles, mom, dad, Chloe herself, just keep praying for them. They would appreciate that very, very much. And boy, I can't imagine all that they're going through, but the good Lord does. And he knows, and he's providing, and he's meeting needs. And so that is a blessing, that's for sure. All right, if you will, turn to James chapter 5 this morning. James chapter 5. Brother Alvin, I appreciated your offertory on prayer this morning because that's where we're going to be this morning, is focusing, thinking about prayer. I was thinking about upcoming meetings. We're having one here with the Rochester family being with us. And humanly speaking, I want to do so much to make a meeting a success in God's eyes. I want to make it one of those things that is worth our time and our effort, worth the time of us coming out each and every evening. By the way, if you come out each and every evening, you may make some sacrifices, but every sacrifice will be well rewarded by the Lord. Invite people. Come on out and do that. But I want to say, internally, I have struggled this week about the aspect of how can we do things better. And you know what I keep going back to and the Lord convicts me with? This was not the sermon that I intended to preach as of last week, but the Lord just kept impressing upon my heart. Jay, you need this, and maybe the people do too. It's the aspect of prayer. The only way we can really affect what we're doing here, we can have a beautiful building, we can have padded pews, we can have air conditioning, we can have all of these things, and yet the power of the Lord and the Holy Spirit's power might not be here affecting a meeting and affecting our hearts and helping those that we bring in that might be lost and in need of a Savior unless we pray. Unless we pray. And this is where I am so convicted, because when I go to these scriptures, I feel little. As we go to the scriptures this morning, you may find yourself in that same position as well. And I wanted to just encourage you this morning. If you feel little, If you feel helpless, if you feel like sometimes your prayers don't even go above the ceiling, may I just encourage you that God still can answer prayer. He has a rhyme and a reason to everything He does. He has a great master plan, and He wants us to be involved in His work. Let's look, if you will, at James chapter 5. I've been reading through and just trying to devour bits of James over the past couple weeks, and coming across this passage this week just really changed my focus. James chapter 5, verse 16 says, "Confess your faults one to another, and pray for one another, that ye may be healed." Here's the convicting phrase that stuck out to me this week. "The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much." How does it avail? I can't hear you. How does it avail? Much. "The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much." Says in verse 17, "Elias was a man subject to like passions as we are, and he prayed earnestly that it might not rain. And it rained not on the earth by the space of 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth brought forth her fruit." Oh, the convictions that hit my heart when I began to read this here. Lord, I said, teach me to pray. Lord, I need to be somebody that is a prayer. Prayer is hard work, my friends. It's not the easiest thing that we endeavor to do. Have you ever doubted? And I ask you a series of questions, and I'm wondering if you're where I am. I'm going to guess that you probably are. You're probably answering the same way I ask these questions. Have you ever internally said, "I doubt my effectiveness in prayer. Every time I feel like I could pray more." Or, "I just wish I had more faith." Or, "I wish I lived a better life so that God would answer my prayers more often." When I read a verse like James chapter 5 and verse 16, it says, "The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much." I get convicted to the core. I really do. Because here's what are thoughts in my life. I don't feel very effective. I know I'm not as fervent as I should be. You know, I desire to please God, but I would not really consider myself a very righteous person. Have you felt that way? Like me? I know some of you say, "I pray, and I pray on, and sometimes I feel like those prayers are not being answered," and we go back and we beat ourselves up. I've beat myself up a little bit this week going, "Lord, I want to see things happen." You have no idea how many times I prayed, even this latter part of this week, even this morning, and I prayed for specific families that they might be here this morning. Some, I know, are out because of sickness, and some are out because of other reasons that there's no need. And I pray for them, and I said, "Lord, would you just please answer my prayer this morning? Would you bring that family back to us? Would you do this?" And by the way, I prayed for you this morning. I tried to recall as many of you as I could. I was just looking out visually in my mind and thinking about different people that would sit where they would sit this morning. I said, "Lord, help them to be there this morning and help us to have a good time around God's word. And may we actually get something out of your word. Help it not to be vain and futile and just words. But Lord, help us to truly change what we do. Lord, help me to be more effective in my prayers." If you're visiting with us this morning, I don't believe in chance. I don't believe in happen circumstance or whatever. You might have said, well, I was driving down the road and I decided to pull into that parking lot and check out what was going on. I believe God has you here this morning for a specific purpose. The fact is, prayer does work, but there are times that I feel like I'm not as effective. I'm not as righteous as I should be. And sometimes I beat myself up and I want to put myself on the loser list. But you know what? I go on to the next verse. I go on to the next verse, and that's what you ought to do as well. I sometimes seem to doubt God's power and provision. I know He's all powerful. I know He can do what He wants to do in my life and in your life. But I just wonder, is it going to happen through me? Are my prayers effective? Well, listen to this here, what it says. Right after it says, the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. And I have big internal questions in my heart. James throws something in to remind me of who I am and who God is. And where I need to not put myself on the loser list, where I need to not beat myself up, where I need to remember I am human as well, and God just wants me to follow His protocol. Notice what He says in verse 17. When I feel discouraged, He throws in something that's unique. Elias. Elias was a man subject to like passions as we are. Elijah, we know from the Old Testament scripture, he was just like you and I. He struggled at times, didn't he? But notice what happened. Even in his struggles, what it says. Elias was a man subject to like passions as we are. And he prayed earnestly that it might not rain, it rained not on the earth by the space of 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again, and the heavens gave rain, and the earth brought forth her fruit. Wow. You know what? This summer has been a very different summer for us. Most of the time, during the past couple summers, I have not had to say anything to the people that come and mow our church property. They just keep coming week after week after week. The guys that are so faithful in helping us mow the back property and everything, sometimes they might say, hey, does the field need mowed? And I'm like, yep, sure it does. It's tall, it's green, it's thick. And yet, I've sent out message after message after message going, don't come this week. Don't come this week. Don't come this week. There's nothing to mow. You're just going to create a dust storm. You know what? We're grateful. Last Sunday morning, we received rain. Today, we've received some rain that we're so grateful for. It's been a time of drought. And you know what? Some of us have even complained. Can't imagine what 3.5 years would be like. When I look back at 1 Kings chapter 17, 18, and 19, you begin to imagine what he is talking about when it comes to it's not going to rain. He also emphasized the fact there's not going to even be dew on the ground. Nothing. Cut off. Hey, I'm going to pray and you're going to feel the judgment of God, Ahab. Can't even imagine what it was like after 3.5 years. I remember teaching those lessons in junior church and as you use the flip cards, an artist depiction. Oh, the artist depiction shows cows that are skinny and you can see their bones. Some of them dying because there hasn't been rain. A ground that is so hard and dry and cracked that it just looks like crevices in the ground. And that's an artist's depiction of what it might have been like and how bad it could have been. And yet my Bible tells me that he says he prayed that way at first, but then after 3.5 years, he prayed, Yet again, and what does it say right here in these scriptures in James? He reminds us that he says, the heavens gave rain, and the earth brought forth her fruit. It's interesting to me that James puts in there that the earth brought forth her fruit. Can you imagine what happens after 3.5 years of not having rain? Everything dries up, withers up. The trees, the vegetation, all those things, it's now gone. Dry as dust, cracked ground, all those things. And you're saying, even if it were to have rain right now, nothing would happen. It's gone. The vegetation is gone. We're not going to see green grass again. We're not going to see fruit on a tree again. That poor tree has dried up, and there's no hope for it anymore. You know what? After 3.5 years, most of us would say, you know what? A tree's not going to survive when it has that kind of drought. And usually, that would be true. But our great God not just sent rain, he allowed vegetation to come back when it should not have come back. He allowed fruit to start producing once again when a tree should have shriveled up and died. Anybody that knows trees well enough, you know, it might dry, it may lose its leaves or whatever like that. Even our person that did the landscaping, I asked him this week, I said, can you come back and look at a couple trees? I'm getting a little bit worried. It seems like are we doing enough watering? It seems like they're dropping some of their leaves pretty early here or whatever. You know what he said to me? He goes, Jay, I'll be glad to come by. He goes, I scraped at the bark. He goes, and it's perfectly fine underneath. He goes, there's greenness, there's moisture under there or whatever. The trees are doing just fine. He goes, it's the cool spell that's starting to cause things. But you know what? In that time, there probably was no greenness underneath of the bark. There was everything about the tree that shriveled up. And yet God brought back even the fruit. Now, shall I just remind you a little bit about Elijah? Think about Elijah and his life. First of all, he prayed. 3.5 years, there was no rain. Pretty impressive, right? He also prayed, and a widow's family had an inexhaustible food supply. This is what incredible things that Elijah was able to accomplish. After that, he was able to bring the widow's son back to life again when everybody else said, and she said herself, my son is dead. You've brought a curse upon our house, basically. And he says, oh, no, no, no. And her son was brought back to life because of the prayers of Elijah. Elijah goes on, and God uses him to defeat 450, well, it says prophets of Baal. They would be false prophets, obviously. God allows Elijah to do all of these different things through prayer. You're saying, what a mighty man of prayer. And that's where I would say, I'm not that man. But the Bible goes on to remind us something else about Elijah. When you feel like you're not as prayerful as you should be, you're not as effective as you should be, if you're not as righteous as you should be, may I just remind you what goes on next in Elijah's life? Elijah did something that we did, and we do today. Elijah picked up the telescope, and he flipped it around. He looked through the wrong end, and he looked through, and he saw Jezebel. And he looked around, and he saw his God. You know what happens when you look through the wrong end of a telescope? Everything is now, instead of magnified, it's made small. He saw a small God. He saw a big Jezebel. He reversed the orders. He is just allowed by God to be able to defeat 450 false prophets. And yet, one woman is going to scare him. It's going to threaten him, is going to cause him to run. But what do we see? Elijah hit rock bottom. Fear tackled him. Doubt pinned him to the ground. You think about that. Fear tackling us. You ever been there where fear tackles us? Doubt pins us to the ground, just like Elijah. Okay? And he says, I'm not effective. I'm not effective anymore. Elijah wished that his life was over. Even asked God to take his life from him. He got so low that he asked for God to just end it all. You know what? Maybe sometimes in your prayer life, you felt that way. You felt like I pray and I pray on and I pray on. And by the way, may I encourage you just to keep to pray on another day. Sometimes the devil wants to defeat us. Sometimes he wants to push us down. And sometimes he wants us to be fearful. He wants doubt to pin us down in our life, so to speak. The fact is, if you know Jesus Christ as your Savior this morning, you have won the victory. You're not his, and he knows it. But you know what he wants to do this morning? He trembles. He trembles at the sight of a weak, small Christian kneeling on their knees in prayer to a great and mighty God. And you know what he does? He says, well, I don't like it when I see them praying. I will cause them to fear. I will cause them to lose their focus. I'll cause them to be like this Elijah. I'll cause them to be pinned down by doubt and fear in their lives. And what happens? He makes us ineffective. He's lost the battle, folks, but he knows that he can make us ineffective if he causes us to miss a day in prayer or miss a couple days in prayer. Or just say it doesn't work. Oh, when we have those doubts, help us, Lord, to realize you're greater. We are weak. By the way, we must be able to put ourselves in perspective. We ought to see ourselves where we really are. It's not you that accomplishes things. It is our great and mighty God that actually does anything through our weak and meagerly prayers. Amen. Elijah said, Lord, take my life from me. Yet God had done so many things in his life. And yet he got so low that he was in such a situation that he needed God's help and strength. By the way, when you get low, when you have problems, may I remind you that God is always there. God gave Elijah what I would call an Elijah weekend. Probably some of us should have Elijah weekends every now and then. When we get low, you just need to take a break. Here's what God did. Elijah was stressed. He was tired. He was overwhelmed. He was ready to die. And God says, I'm just going to put you to sleep. I'm just going to put you to sleep. Give you some physical rest. You know what God then next did? He woke him up and he fed him. And then God put him to sleep again. And then he woke him up and he fed him again. By the way, doesn't that sound like a nice weekend? Some of us need to just do a little bit of sleeping. And then just a little bit of eating. A little bit of sleeping. And a little bit eating. You know, the fact is we joke about that, we laugh about that, but sometimes we do need to get away from the stresses and the cares of this world and to simply rest in the Lord. I remember sitting in preacher boys' class with 400 preacher boys, and our teacher, Jim Shetler, who was the pastor of the campus church, he said, sometimes, guys, the most spiritual thing for you preachers to do in your ministry is to take a nap. What? You know, we're all jotting notes and going, he didn't just say that. All of us college students, we need a nap right now. We have studied long. We've stayed up late. We're doing all these things. You know, the fact is, sometimes all of us need to do what Elijah was instructed by God to do. Just eat. Just sleep. Repair your physical body. And then God did something right after that. God went for his heart. God said, I've helped you with the physical. Now that you're refreshed, now that you're fed, and now that I have helped you with the physical aspect, I'm going to go after your heart. I'm going to talk to you about your spirit. And while he was there in that cave, do you remember what happened? Oh, big and mighty things, right? Okay. Rock-shattering wind came by. Didn't shake him. Okay. Didn't get his attention. An earthquake came by. That seems like it'd be something that would really get our attention, right? Then, of course, there was fire. Finally, God got Elijah's attention. By what? A still, small voice. We call it a whisper today. God says, I've ministered to your physical needs. I'm just going to come and talk to you in a still, small voice. You know what some of us need? Not just rest and not just to eat. Recoup our physical strength. Some of us physically say, I'm exhausted. I'm wore out. I've been there. I've punched that card. I know what you're talking about or whatever. But then we also need to hear the still, small voice of the Lord, where he speaks to our spirits and he does spiritual repair in our life. You know what? If you feel like you're ineffective, if you feel like you're not so righteous, if you feel like your prayers are not going above the ceiling, maybe it's because we need to pause and in the still quietness say, Lord, I finally pulled off the side of the road. I'm not rushing down the highway of life. And I just want to hear from you. Be still and know that I am God. You know, I don't know about you. I believe that in this auditorium this morning, there are prayer warriors. You're like, who's he referring to? I've been there. I've thought about that. I really have thought about that. What is the success of People's Baptist Church? Lord, if I'm not the righteous person, if I'm not the effective prayer warrior, if I'm not the person, who's going to do it? And then I start looking at some older people with less hair or gray hair, and I say, Lord, they must be the hope for People's Baptist Church, because if I'm not, it must be them. But when I talk to them, guess what they say? I feel so ineffective in my prayer life, Jay. And then I get really discouraged. Oh, no. If it's not me, if it's not them, who is it? I want to challenge you this morning. I believe it's every single one of us in here this morning that are the hope for this church, the hope for our communities, the hope for America. I believe you ought to get out and vote, but I believe we ought to pray more than we put feet to this action. Okay? I don't get me wrong. I really believe we ought to put feet to this election, but I believe we ought to pray so much the more. I believe that we ought to accomplish things, and you're probably looking at me going, I don't think you're talking about me. I'm like, no, yes, I really am talking about you. You can be the prayer warriors in here this morning. You can be the person. I don't care if it's a child. I don't care if it's a teenager. Teenagers, you can make a change in this church. Can you imagine what might happen, teenagers, if your mom, your dad walked by your room this week, and after this morning's message, they saw you kneeling beside your bed in prayer, just saying, Lord, Would you use me? I don't feel like I'm effective. I don't feel like I'm righteous, but Lord, if you could use Elijah, even when he was down and discouraged, and you can pick him up again, can you use me, Lord? Can you please? Can you imagine what conviction is going to go to a mom and a dad's heart when they see their teenager, their young person praying, and maybe they're not? Kids, teenagers, young adults, you can affect great and mighty things. I'm convicted when my kids put me to shame. You probably are the same way. Tell you what, Elijah, he heard that still small voice. God woke up Elijah both physically and spiritually. He revealed to him how wonderful God's power was. It wasn't Elijah, okay? It was our great God that was going to do it. When Elijah says, I'm the last one, Lord. God then at that point says, get up. I want you to go about and do some things. I want you to anoint some kings. I want you to go out and I want you to find a replacement because I've already picked him out for you. And by the way, Elijah, while you are sitting there having a pity party, let me just tell you something about your country that you didn't even know. There are 7,000 people who have not bowed their knee to Baal. They're right ready to get behind you and your successor and do a mighty work for me. Elijah, it's not about you. It's not about me, Lord? No, it's not about you. By the way, when you feel like I do at times, I just want to remind you, you may feel low. You may feel ineffective. You may feel that you're not as righteous as you should be. But guess what? It's not about us. It's about what God can do in and through us if we're willing to be simple, small, usable vessels this morning. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. When you don't feel like you're righteous, guess what? I want you to remember you're not righteous in your own merit. If you have went to the cross of Calvary, if you've claimed the blood of Jesus Christ that has covered your sins, he makes us righteous. It's not about us and what we've done or not done this week. You stand with our sins confessed. You stand before God as a righteous person. He says, all I want you to do is come to me. I want you to ask. I want you to plead. I want you to beg. I want you to see what will happen when you pray. The windows of heaven will open up. Me? I can cause the windows of heaven to open up by simply asking? Yes, Jay Hanger. Yes, fill in the blank, your name, okay? So when I don't feel effective, when I don't feel fervent as I should be, when I don't consider myself as righteous as I should be, when I doubt the power and the promises of God, it's not me. Remind yourself, Elijah was human just like us. And yet, after he was done having his little discussion with God, his little areas where we've talked about, maybe our own little pity parties where we're saying, what in the world, Lord? Me? He says, it's not about you. It's all about me. Amen. When did you pray? Today. Or have you prayed today? When do you pray each day? And where do you pray? What do you pray about? All I could say is I would like to beg and plead with you, pray more. Be able to just ask the Lord for things. Come to him in this fashion. We'll call it a CPR attitude in prayer. You could write this down if you want. Maybe if some of you have heard it before. But first of all with CPR, we ask first of all in confession. When I come to the Lord, I confess who I am and who he really is. Oh, my sins were covered at the cross of Calvary. I might say, Lord, Lord, you know what I did today and I want it right. Fellowship. By the way, your relationship was never broken by your sin yesterday. Your fellowship was. I want a right fellowship with you this morning, so you know that thing that I did again. Lord, I confess it to you, but Lord, I confess who I am. I'm little, I'm small, I'm weak, I need your help, and I confess I know that who you are is great and mighty and powerful, and you're unchanging. And then you come to him not just with confession, but you come to him with praise. Would you just praise him for what he has done already? Before asking for another thing, why don't you reflect on what he has done for you this week? Lord, I praise you for answering these things. I praise you for your attributes. I praise you for so many things. And we just spend some time meditating and praising him on who he is and what he has already accomplished in our lives, in our church, in our community. And then we bring the last thing, confession, praise. We finally get to our request. He does want you to ask. He asks you to request. Ask of him something, whatever it might be. Maybe it's a small thing. Maybe it's a big thing. Maybe it's small to you. Big to somebody else. Maybe it's big to you and small to somebody else. Fact is, just ask whatever you will. It's amazing to me how kids come to the Lord in prayer. You ever heard a kid pray? How we take prayer requests in junior church. Or maybe in master clubs or something like that. And kids, their prayer requests are different than our prayer request. We hit the big things a lot of times. Kids hit the little things. They say, pray for my dad. Pray for my boo-boo. Pray for this. Pray for that. Pray for... And they mention the smallest and sometimes what seems like the most insignificant things. And I trust we as teachers or we as junior church leaders never snicker or laugh at the cute little things that sometimes they bring as prayer requests, because God's not. He says, suffer the little children to come unto me. Allow them to keep asking those simple little things. I believe we as adults could go back and learn a lesson from kids in the aspect of when we bring our prayer requests before him, help it to be childlike. Help it to be simple. Help us to ask anything that is a burden upon our hearts, small or big. God can do it. God can answer it. By the way, don't hesitate to ask for the big things that you feel like could never be accomplished. Because with God things, God, all things are possible. If we say, but I'm not even going to ask because that's probably not even possible. It's probably not one of those things that God would ever be able to do. Oh, ye of little faith, how big is our God? How much can he do? He says, I will be glad to show you great and mighty things thou knowest not. Beyond whatever you could imagine, God could do that kind of thing. He really can. So go to him in childlike faith. And ask in this fashion, Lord, I come before you with confession. Lord, I come before you with praise about who you are. And Lord, I come before you with request. Do you realize that as we look at this verse and I read that phrase, the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much? When I'm shaken to the core with that phrase and think, I'm not much, you know what? That's actually a good place to be, to realize I'm not much. But God is great, and God can do anything, and God can turn the tides once again. God is able, my friend. Prayer is effective. Would we just simply ask? And sit back and watch God do incredible things. When I want to put myself on the loser list, James interjects a person like Elijah, and says, "Don't forget, Jay, he was a person just like you. He had struggles just like you. Look at all that was accomplished through his life because, not of him, but because of prayer and his great God that was able to accomplish anything." When Elijah had great faith, Elijah was able to see incredible things happen. I reflect back on the barrels of water. Who has ever heard of asking the Lord to burn up a sacrifice, but before you do it, you do what seems impossible? You drench it in water. You do what makes it just something that the rest of us would scratch our head and say, that's not the way to start a fire. But God says, I can do it. I can show you great and mighty things. I can prove that I am the one living and true God. I love what Albert Barnes wrote about a righteous man. It helped me this week. He says, the quality on which the success of the prayer depends not on the talent, the learning, the rank, the wealth, or the office of a man who prays, but the fact that he's a righteous man. I'm now scratching my hand in my head with Albert Barnes going, okay, that didn't make me feel any better. Fact is, you said it's not about a person's wealth or about his office or about this or about that, but the fact that a person is a righteous person. He reminds us in his commentary, he says, do you realize you've been made righteous? You have been justified by God, just as if I never sinned. You were declared righteous. And you stand as a righteous person before a holy and righteous God, and you have the privilege of coming before him and asking the request. Oh, man, that's good. Albert Barnes goes on to say, this may mean that it could be a good man, could be in the ranks of the poor, could be in the ranks of the rich. It could be in the ranks of the layman, the simple, common person. It could be in the ministers of religion. It could be among slaves. It could be among their masters. A righteous person is not dependent upon what status we are in society or what we think we've accomplished. It's not about anything. It's not about your race. It's not about your height. It's not about anything outside of the fact that Christ says, I have made you righteous. And I want you to come before me and ask. If you will do that, if you will take me in at your word, I will show you great and mighty things you know not. Wow. This morning, I ask you, do you pray as you should? Would you like to pray more? I'm just sort of curious. Would it help People's Baptist Church if we had 3.5 hours more of prayer? Do you think so? Would it do anything? Would it accomplish anything? You know, I didn't take a head count this morning, but we're going to close the service this way. If there's 100 people here this morning, and we take the next 2 minutes in just silent prayer, each one of us praying, asking God, we come before him confessing who we are, praising him for who he is, and make a request, Lord, would you do something this week in my life and in the church's life that only you can do? Do you realize by 100 people praying for the next 2 minutes, we will have accomplished 3.5 hours worth of prayer collectively? You say it's not much. Oh, it sounds like a lot when we talk about 3.5 hours, but 2 minutes? Let's close our service this morning with 2 minutes of quiet meditational prayer this morning, just asking the Lord. You can come to him, start off with, Lord, It's just Jay here. Lord, I confess I'm not much. Lord, I just want to praise you. Lord, I request this morning that you would do something through us. So, in the quiet and the stillness of the moment, would you ask the Lord for 2 minutes just to do something through your life, through my life, through the church's life in this quiet time?
We trust that God used today's message to work in your life. If you are unsure of where you'll spend eternity, don't let another day go by without getting the answer. If we can be of spiritual help, please call area code 540-434-6554.